Welcome to Hometown Glory, your Spurs and culture podcast. I'm Rosa and I've got Lauren and Tom with me to discuss another late win, this time against the elite Warriors of Luton Town. Hi guys, how are you both doing?
Yeah, good. It was to be fair, it was a nice day out. It was
It was. We had a good day.
Everyone from the HD family, apart from you, I'm just talking about you before, Rose. But yeah, so it was a nice day out. Stressful game, but
Yeah.
we got there in the end. But yeah.
Not our greatest day. But you doing all right, Tom?
Yeah, all good. It was surprisingly nice weather, wasn't it? It was boiling in the Beehive garden.
God, it was absolutely boiling. I honestly, this is such a boring point. But like, I genuinely was like, I'm going to take my big coat, surely. And at last minute, I was like, you don't need it. And then I was so glad because it was, yeah. It was like our first proper glorious day of sunshine. Thank God Tottenham did not. They very nearly let us down, but they didn't.
They
really
tried to ruin
tried.
it, but
They did their best. First, we've got to give a shout out to Sam and Joe and to everyone who came to the Beehive to get their photos. They have raised $2,000 so far for Tottenham Food Bank, which is just amazing, amazing work. Thank you. Sam wants to make sure we thank everybody who came along and everybody who's like made a donation. It's just amazing work from everybody. And I hope everyone liked their pictures. We've got a nice one of all of us, which I very much enjoyed. Also, just quickly, a clarification and an apology from me to my dad. He was absolutely fuming to hear me claim last week that he started supporting Spurs the year after they won the double. This is not true. It was, in fact, 3 years earlier when we were nearly relegated and his first game, we lost to West Ham. Hopefully that's not an omen, but sorry, Dad. To the game, big day for both me and Tom. Lauren, I got to sit with you for the very first time. Very exciting. And Tom, you brought your daughter to her very first men's game.
Yeah.
How did she find it?
She, do you know what? She absolutely loved it. She told my wife that it was the best day of her life when she got home, which
is
was
so
very,
cute and really worrying.
It was very, very sweet. She's almost eight, so I thought it was time for the big ground and a men's game. The main thing for us is we live in South London, so actually the killer is just the journey. Otherwise, she probably would have gone, you know, a year or two ago. But yeah, she loved it. The downside I realized is during that incredibly frustrating first half, she was sort of saying, oh my God, it's 20 minutes and we still haven't scored against Luton. Oh, it's 25 minutes and we still haven't scored against Luton. And so
oh, I'm so sorry. Yeah.
The entire half. And I realized,
her are the guys behind me for sure.
I realized that I think I'd said something like early on, like we can't be losing to Luton. And then she just kept saying, we're still losing to Luton, essentially. So although it was a very nice day, I did realise the downside to taking your almost 8-year-old to the football. And also she took, I think quite early on, I said something like, if we lose this, you've got to support Palace because we live very close to Selhurst Park. And she took that very seriously.
Okay.
So, genuinely, she would have had to support Palace if we'd lost that. So thank God we won. But yeah, she had a great day, even enjoyed her drinks in the Beehive and in the South Stand with us afterwards.
She did, man. She seemed incredibly chill and just very like at peace with the whole vibe, which I liked. I love that for her.
She really loved it. She took a little notepad and wrote down all the players' names and their numbers. And
the best
like,
thing.
Yeah, it was honestly very cute. And I got her an overpriced official scarf that she's now hung up in her bedroom. So, yeah.
Amazing.
And yeah, thank God it was a win because my first game, we lost to Leicester, I believe. So, yeah, and that was horrible. But I did come back, obviously.
Yeah, she's got no excuse now. One other thing that I really enjoyed is that she had a little golden snitch in her bag, which I feel like now I'm going to need one of those as well. That's obviously a good luck charm.
Yeah, definitely
incredible.
The luck. Yeah.
She was holding on to it for the first goal. She sort of took it out of her bag and was like, I'm going to hold this for good luck.
So cool.
A little Harry Potter golden snitch. And then she basically put down the win to that, I think. So
amazing. I mean,
I think we all have put down.
It's literally as good a reason as any. Honestly, that game, I can only assume that our team was as dazzled by a handsome Rob on the touchline as any of the rest of us, because we conceded almost immediately. Like, what the fuck?
I think it's not even in the point. Like, usually there's a few minutes, then you settle and you think, okay, cool. It was just a I don't know, like a catalogue of errors, which I think because of the Fulham game, I think we're all sat there thinking, they're going to come flying out
Surely,
the traps, they're
surely.
going to make up for the performance. And then we just conceded a really kind of calamitous
Very much retreating back into
goal.
the traps.
And it's just kind of like, that goal was kind of like, oh, how many goals like that are we going to keep conceding? And then you just sat there thinking, and now then you set them their game plan, because it just was low block that we had to face, which any team fighting relegation would do. So I don't blame Luton for doing that, but it's kind of like we've just made it harder for ourselves, and now we're having to play against a style of football that we really struggle playing against. So yeah, not great.
Well, yeah, it's a kind of weird dichotomy, isn't it? Because we have a really, really great defence, and I know we were missing Van de Ven against Luton, but we've kind of raved about all four of our defenders at various points this season, and Dragos, like I just said, Dragosin was in for this one. But we also can't keep clean sheets, can we? We just never keep clean sheets. Like Villa is the only one I can really think of. There's been so few this season. It's crazy.
And I don't even like I don't like that goal. I don't think was on our defenders at all. I think that someone did like a Twitter thread earlier this week, literally today, I guess, or yesterday. Where are we? What is time? I don't know. And I enjoyed it because it basically confirmed me in my like pro Dragusin bias for that goal, where I was like, I don't think he was at fault. I think he was slightly panicky in the first half, and then I feel like he really grew in confidence. But I don't think that goal was on him. It was basically like coup loose on essentially Bissouma. Like, if we're gonna have a villain of the piece.
For me, I think my main blame is on Bissouma, and I think the type of goals that we are conceding is we are getting caught out in transition. And I think your defensive midfield or number six, whatever you want to call it, whoever's playing in that position, because your fullbacks, Destiny and Pedro, are forward, you've got to like. I think you've got to identify the danger and you've got to snuff it out. And I feel like Bissouma had the opportunity and he just flung out a lazy leg against Andros Townsend. He just carried on running, and then that cross comes into the box. And I just thought, if you just stopped the cross, I just thought, what's the point? You ran all the way over there to try and close him down
And then
and
just
were
stood
doing your
there.
job, and then was just like, oh, I can't bother to do the rest of the job. And then, and I just think we're looking really vulnerable. And I think the longer that Bissouma continues to not show us his level, I think we're going to keep conceding those type of goals, because we literally have all of our attackers attacking, and then we're just relying on literally whoever's playing, whether it's Mickey and Romero or it's Dragosin and Romero. They're pretty much there, like two of them, with a team that's counter-attacking them. So I'm just kind of like I said to you, Razor, I was just like, at some point, like, if Bissouma's not going to step it up, you might as well pay Højbjerg there, because
I
I feel
know,
like
big
he's going to be
shout.
out
That's
for
a
that.
big shout.
And I think for me, the level that Bissouma's playing at the moment isn't any higher than Pierre's level. So if Bissouma doesn't want to step it up, then I think we need to make a change, because it was just frustrating to see us concede the same goal over and over again.
Would you be pro Højbjerg, Tom?
Well, I thought Bentancur came in and looked really good after he came on, so potentially he is the answer, and he is. We've already said this earlier in the season, but potentially he is getting back to the level that we expect from him. But yeah, just while we're getting negatives out of the way, it has to be said that Bissouma was really quite bad. I mean, no one was very good in the first half, were they? But Bissouma stood out as being pretty terrible, and there'd been talk. Prior, like Ange had been asked about Bissouma's form, hadn't he? Like before the game, And yeah, unfortunately, Bissouma did nothing to kind of prove anyone wrong. He was, yeah, caught out quite a few times and just didn't play any kind of incisive passes, which Bentancur really did when he came on, I thought.
Yep, I mean, I think Bissouma did wake up in a during a sort of like 15-minute spell straight after the break, and then it didn't really happen for him. And then obviously Bentancur came on and played at least one glorious pass. That is basically the kind of thing that only he can do and Bissouma can't do. What we'll just yeah, let's get the negatives out of the way just really quickly. Like what is up with Bissouma? Is it just that he's just never going to be consistent enough, do you think?
I don't know. I think obviously the first few games he was fantastic, and then obviously the red card, and then the tossing up of the yellow cards, and then
Yeah, he's
obviously he
basically
went
been
to
rubbish since the last time we played Luton.
yeah, pretty much. And I think I know he went to AFCON, and I know to be fair, he did have malaria. That's not an easy thing to recover from, so it could actually
True.
just be that he's just not feeling confident in his own body, but. At the same time, I just think we do have other options, whether it is Højbjerg, whether it is Bentancur. I'm just looking and thinking, in order for us to play, I think, on the front foot in that 15-minute period where Bissouma was good, as a team, we were really good in terms of going forward. And I just think that position is so critical, that one, we need to buy another one, but like another type six player, I think, that can in the summer. But whoever is in the best form needs to be on the pitch, because I just think if I feel like that position, if Bissouma isn't playing well, the team is not playing well. So yeah, whether it's Bentancur, who I do think he looked his sharpest that he has done since like the kind of the second ankle injury, and then the broken toe, which explained why he's looking a bit worse forever over the last few weeks. But yeah, I don't know. I'm just a bit frustrated because I think. A lot. I feel like all of us, because we've seen how well the team played at the beginning of the season, it's kind of like, I know you can play better, so my expectations of you are
Yeah.
higher.
That, why aren't you? I just want to quickly, as an aside, I've said this to literally everyone, I think now, but I want us to make a bid for Everton's Onana. I think that's the one. That's just my
Yeah,
guy.
he's quality.
Yeah. Basically, I mean, yeah, he is quality, but it's also based largely on the fact that he's like Belgian and speaks five languages. Very impressive. That's the kind of
Five
player I want in my
languages.
team. Five. Yeah.
Intelligent.
Incredible.
Bloody hell.
And also he's only like 22, so
On Højbjerg as well, it was worth saying we've got such a tough run of games coming up, haven't we? Like we've got some really, I don't even want to go into it really,
Let's
but
not look at them.
I wouldn't be adverse to Højbjerg in that role and essentially becoming a third centre back when we're off the ball in some of those games because Adoji and Porro fly forward so frequently, don't they? That they don't really cover for the centre backs there, so.
No, that's not really their job either, is it? That's a lot of what you want Bissouma to do. It's a lot of what Sarr needs to do, and Sarr didn't have his best day either. One other player that I do want an opinion on because he's suddenly becoming like the most divisive again is Kulusevski. Tom, you've always loved him.
I have
How are
always
you
loved
feeling?
him. Yeah, I have always loved him, but especially recently, he's just gone missing in too many games, hasn't he? I think like he didn't do anything really in that first half, did he? And Brennan came on and just put him to shame. So I think he needs to like, and he was best. When we think about his best games this season, it was when he was playing off the striker in the kind of Maddison role, right? So I think the future is probably him as the backup playmaker rather than him as a Ange type winger.
Yeah, I think that's what I don't really get it. I suppose when they played under Conte, it was just because we were such a counter-attacking side, he wasn't required to do the same sorts of kind of tricky winger things that Ange likes. Because obviously he did play out wide, but it just wasn't the same kind of wide forward that he's required to be under Ange. So yeah, I would think I would. I think I want him to stay because I love him dearly. And I think his attitude, his mentality, and he's still so young as well. I think we forget that. But I don't think he fits. And although I believe Ange has said today that he's like, oh, he does have a future as a winger, but I don't really see it. Lauren, what about you?
I will play a bit of devil's advocate.
Oh, okay. Let's do this.
If Werner had scored, that's what was quite clearly a clear-cut chance.
Really difficult
Deki
chance.
would have had an assist. If Son didn't hit both posts, Deki would have had an
True.
assist.
Okay.
So I do think his chance creation in the game is still there, but I do think he needs a positional switch. Like I'm never going to be on the best sell him because I genuinely think he's a very, very talented player, and he's young and he needs to learn. I just think our system is better when we have really quick wide players, and he's just not quick. And he's so left-footed that actually then somebody always coming inside, whereas Brennan's production on the right-hand side is literally get to the byline, play the ball across. So I think he's just sticking out a bit in the system, but I feel really sorry for him when I'm seeing like loads of tweets and people saying we should sell him, he's not good enough, because he generally does do things in games. It's just I think we're not seeing it on an output basis. But like I say, I think we wouldn't be having this conversation if those two goals had gone in, because we'd be like, oh, he got two assists today. So yeah, I think his mentality, and I think he's a really likable person. I think we just need to find a better area for him on the pitch. But yeah, I just think we've moved from Brennan being the scapegoat and now it's Kulusevski being the scapegoat, and I just think people need to relax. Like, we have really young players. They're
That's
not going to
true.
be like Kevin De Bruyne level every single time they play.
What?
Like, it's just not
Unacceptable.
like, yeah, like it's just really frustrating, because it's like, if we sold every single player that had a bad game, we'd be calling the under eights to come and play. Like, it's just people, I think people need to relax.
Then
But
we'd be
yeah.
yelling at them, forward, forward.
Yeah, exactly.
I do wish he'd take a couple more shots as well, though, Kulu, because when he first joined, he got a few crackers from kind of outside the box, and he just doesn't take those shots anymore. I
He
don't know
seems completely
if that's
allergic to it. Yeah,
it
I don't
really
know why.
does. Yeah.
I think it's the whole team, that this whole like kumbaya, my lord, like happy clappy, woo, one big family. I just think you lot need to be more selfish and shoot.
Yeah.
Because it just feels like we're always trying to score the perfect goal. And it's like any goal will do. Like Sonny's goal is a deflection. Like Sonny gets as many goals as he does because he shoots.
Yeah.
So I just think we need to stop trying to pass it to death, especially when it's for some reason in the first half we refuse to move the ball quickly. It just gets a bit frustrating. But hopefully, like I think in Brennan, we've seen the coaching and actually how good he's got kind of towards this part of the season. So hopefully with our other forward players, Ange will kind of get them to that level. But I don't know, we'll see.
I think Brennan is, yeah, let's get into that actually, because as just before we do, I want to say one of the joys of sitting next to you, Lauren, was your pure Timo motivation. I know you're not here for him particularly, but you're like, while he is here, I'm going to encourage him the most I can. And it was just every minute. It was like, go on, Timo, come on. I know you can do it. It was like having his own like personal cheerleading section. I really fucking loved it.
Yeah, like I feel like it's not that I don't want to buy him, but whilst any player is like on the pitch, I just thought we've got to get behind them, because booing them or screaming and shouting, it's not going to help the situation. So yeah, I was very, firmly, because the thing about Timo is he's a very intelligent player in terms of getting himself into the right positions. So there are many opportunities within a game to encourage him to make the right decision and execute.
What
He
is
just didn't.
it? Is it
But
co it's 'cause
yeah.
he's got literally everything else. Like he is so intelligent. He's so fast. But like even I have my head in my hands at some of those misses. I don't, what is it? Is it he just doesn't have it? He
I
did
mean,
have it once.
like you said, he made some amazing runs, and we've seen it so many times, and it's just that the minute he has to make that decision, he fucking panics, doesn't he? Whether it's like take a shot or play the perfect pass, even when he's in the perfect position, he like his head seems to go every time. And I'm totally with Lauren in that I really want him to succeed and be a success. And I find it weird that like within a couple of days, there was a massive debate about should we buy him. Like, let's think about it at the end of the season. I don't really think we should buy him, but while he's here, let's support him. But yeah, I think his head goes for like just that fraction of a second when he has to make that call.
I know, it's so sad. I mean, I don't think I would like to buy him. He's the kind of player I love. He's fun to watch, and you know, just enough nonsense about him for me to really get behind him and make him a project. You guys know I love that, but I don't think we will. I don't think it's going to happen. Even at the price, I think it's wages and all the rest of it. But we'll see. Now, at halftime, I think we were all like, what we want is we want to see decisive Ange. We don't want to see weird, indecisive, I'm not going to make a change until after they've made a change, Fulham Ange. And he did. And he yanked Kulu off and brought on Brennan. And I think we can all say that boy was the game changer. Unbelievable from like the second he came on, right?
Yeah, he's really starting to show why we bought him and why his price tag is what it is, because I think he's a great talent and now he's feeling confident. He looks like he understands what his role is on the pitch, and he's decisive and he's so quick. Like his acceleration over just like a short space, he always leaves his defenders behind. So I'm just happy for him that it's actually everybody's managing to see it now. Because I think there was a lot of pressure put on him. I don't think we ever bought him to have to play as much football as he was doing when we got all those injuries. So it's just nice now that I think whether he's from the start or off the bench, he's making a difference. And that's all we can ask for, I think, for someone like in their first season. I think he's got like his numbers now is like the same as Madders.
Yeah.
And we, you know, we put Maddison on this big pedestal. And so I think, yeah, Brennan's contribution has been so important. And I think everything that all the frustrating things that Kulusevski was doing in the first half, Brennan did the opposite. So it just made such a difference, I think. And credit to him as well, because that's like what happened with Wales in the international break. It's tough to take.
So
to kind of put that aside and do the job that he did. Yeah, credit to him.
His crossing is just so brilliant, isn't it? Like the way he picks out those crosses. And I think we were here on the podcast earlier in the season, sort of wondering if some of them were like a fluke, the like how it cuts through so many people in the box, gets to the line and it kind of cuts past so many people. And they're not a fluke at all. He's just so good at crossing. And I think what's most exciting, I was looking at his stats, and I think the season that Forrest came up, he got 19 goals and 7 assists. And if he can replicate that next season, then we're in for such a treat, I think. He's like such an exciting player, such a nice lad. And he could become a total Tottenham kind of cult hero if he does something, if he replicates those figures next season for us.
I think he could easily go like stratospheric next season. I think he's already shown enough. I think the only thing, yeah, it's just goals. And he's had a few already. So I think he just needs a few more of those. What I love about him, man, is those goals, those crosses, the assists that, you know, when you, and we've seen it kind of done to us loads of times, but you know, when you score a goal where you're like, there's nothing the opposition can do about it. Like the first goal, like they knew it was happening. They knew it was being done to them, but they couldn't do anything to stop it. And
who was it behind the Luton man? Because like
Timo. Like, and I think that the benefit of having two quick wingers on either side is that, like, regardless of which one of them has the ball, the other one's quick enough to get to the far post. But yeah, I think there's just so much pace on his cross. As a defender, it's kind of like, well, if I don't clear it, the guy, like, my opposition's behind me.
Yeah,
and then it's so quick. Like the actual delay in trying to a defender trying to sort their feet out, it's just going to catch them out. So it just goes kind of bouncing off them. So I think, you know, regardless of how the ball, whoever puts the ball over the line, I think, yeah, that, you know, that's a true asset, which I think nobody else in our team at the moment is kind of bringing that. Because I think Timo can, because he's kind of got the same skill set, but that kind of panic in his decision making, we'll call it that, means that we're not seeing it as much coming from the left, but I think it just shows that with the Kulusevski thing, maybe he needs to play somewhere else, because we're not going to get that whilst he's on the pitch playing off the right. But yeah, happy with Brennan, and yeah, if we get anywhere close to that Forest goal return next season, happy days. But as long as he's chipping in and making goals, I don't think he can complain. Like, Bernardo Silva's not like he doesn't get 15, 20 goals a season, but if he does play out on the left, he gets like a bag of assists. So yeah.
Happy think it's just I think it's just also like the energy that Brennan brings when he's on the pitch, isn't it? There's something, there's just kind of like a buzz that goes around the stadium that not every player has, and it's just that sort of electricity, I think. And with the confidence that he now has, it's like those two things kind of feed off each other,
and you he makes see it in celebrations.
Yeah, completely.
Yeah, he's got like that I'm him. Like,
yeah, that exactly. Kind of, and we want him to be that guy. Yeah. Exactly. He's got aura. And he's also got awareness, because that awareness to know that Sonny was right behind him for the winner was also superb, I thought. That's something not every player has either.
Yeah, he was like, Son was weirdly really close to him, wasn't he? So it's a hard pass, hard assist to make, I think. Yeah. And I mean, let's talk Son as well.
Let's, because we are fully in danger of doing what we used to do to Kane.
That's because we just know he does it.
I know, man. Out,
like, what a guy. I mean, 15 goals now in the league. Only three off Haaland, and he obviously had 5-6 weeks out for international duty. What a guy. And I think, he overtook Cliff Jones, was it, to become our fifth top scorer?
Yeah.
Fifth outright, yeah.
Fifth top scorer of all time. And Charlie just shared an amazing stat with us. He's become our fifth all-time leading scorer and has done so scoring fewer penalties than Roberto Soldado and Andros Townsend.
Oh, shit. Right, because I guess like he literally never took penalties until this year. Yeah.
Yeah. And we've had.
We haven't had any penalties this year.
We've had like no penalties. Chelsea get like two a game every game.
Farcical.
And Saka does as well.
Let's not speak of him.
Yeah,
he's now got the most assists as well, right, for us this season.
Yeah, so he's got 8 assists and 15 goals for us.
And I think
top assists is only 10 assists, is it? Someone's got in the league. Is it Watkins? He was up there.
Really? Okay.
And Watkins is injured now, so Sonny, that golden boot and the playmaker, whatever that one's called, for assists.
Well, I like that. I like that penalty stat as well, because to anyone who would listen, when he was joint golden boot winner with Salah, I'd say, and he didn't get a single penalty.
Yes. And the moral victory remains ours.
The real trophy, yeah.
Yeah. I think you kind of underestimate how he just turns up time and time and time again. And the thing is, he does it for Spurs and he does it for South Korea. So I don't know what country he would have like been playing in, but it probably wasn't on this continent. So for him to probably play what would probably would have been 290 minutes, to fly back jet lagged, and to put in the shift that he does every single time he comes back from international duty, I just think it's easy to just, because his level is so high, like we can just gloss over it, but to be fifth outright top scorer for a player that hasn't like come through our academy and has actually played, I know he's been at Spurs for a while, but it's not like Kane's level of longevity, so for him to get where he is primarily playing left wing, yeah, I just think it's phenomenal. And he's a wonderful captain because his standards are so high, and I think you can see, I don't know, it just feels, the team feels different this year. It's just that the energy is so much more positive, and I think he's such a big contributor to that. And yeah, he does his talking on the pitch. he's underrated, I think, in the league, but every single time when you look at his stats, he's up there. So, yeah.
I think I underrate extend him the as contract. Well. Yeah. Yeah, man. Just keep him here till he's like, no, I can't play football anymore. essentially. That's fine by me. Because we were talking earlier about like player of the season, and obviously we'll do that later on. But I was like, oh yeah, I think mine's Vic, because I think he's really transformed the way we play, or been such a big part of that. But like, it's obviously Sonny. Like, it's kind of a nonsense at this point to think it should be anything else, anyone else, because he really, like, he just comes through for us.
Yeah, and we wouldn't be. I know Ange wants us to focus on the performances, but as fans, we're looking at that fourth spot, thinking we want Champions League, and we wouldn't be where we are in this table without him. And I know at the start of the season, we were all worried, thinking, "What does life look like without Harry Kane?"
And now we've got another
And
worry.
yeah, but I think Sonny is kind of. Said it's okay. I don't like I'm still here. I'm committed. I'm loyal. I'm Mr. Tottenham. And yeah, I just think we're just so lucky to have him,
We are, man.
realistically. And I'm glad that he kind of still looks. And obviously, last season he had the hernia, but he still looks just as fresh.
Yeah.
So I hope we have him for many years to come.
I think we could. I think we could, like, he doesn't have to, I don't think his pace will sort of disappear over the next couple of years, surely.
He looks like he looks after
Yeah,
himself, so
I think it'll be
yeah.
fine. It'll be
He also
totally
loves
fine.
a big game, and we've got a few of those coming up, so.
Whew. Shall we turn our attention to the next big game? Very good, Tom. West Ham, your favourite game of the season. Always a stressful one. We lost ridiculously to them at home. Two quite fluky goals. And they are possibly wobbling, having just lost a ridiculous game to at Newcastle, where they were 3-1 up and then they lost it 4-3. So, how are we feeling about this one? Tom, I know you.
I've
This is your
never.
this is the one this is the fixture you look forward to most.
Yeah, I've said before, like where I grew up in Essex, there were way more West Ham fans than there were Arsenal fans. So, yeah, I never feel good going into this fixture, and our record against them has been pretty bad over the last few years. Weren't they? Didn't were they the first team to beat us at the new stadium as well?
Yes.
Yeah, that killed me.
Antonio
Oh God.
Gamma.
They loved that. So no, I'm not feeling good. And I watched the Newcastle highlights, and it's made me worry that we've got to go to Newcastle and play West Ham. I thought Kudus and Bowen were really good, looked really good. They were linking really well together. So yeah, that's worried me. Admittedly, they conceded four goals. Their defence
They
isn't
did, yeah.
so. But yeah, we're probably going to concede. We're just going to have to outscore them.
Bowen has scored a lot of goals. I did not realize. He's got like 15 or
Yeah.
16 goals as well, hasn't he?
He's
And I
having his
think,
best season, isn't he? Definitely. Yeah.
yeah, he's quality. And I think Paqueta, I feel like at the moment, like West Ham won't win if Paqueta's not on the pitch, but he is fit. So I expect him to play tomorrow.
Oh,
But
for
this.
God's sake.
Yeah, I mean, this game means a lot to me as well. Like, my road gets closed for West Ham games, so I like this is a fixture. Like, I want to go on my balcony after the game and be happy to see them flooding out of the stadium. Hopefully on the end of a loss, but yeah, I think to be fair, going forward, I think they're very good defensively. They're rubbish. They're nowhere near the level that they were defensively last season. So I think we need to turn up, and we need to be more clinical than we have been. And I think if we are, we'll beat them. Because I feel like when we play to our level and the level that we have seen, there aren't many teams that can actually match us. But we need to play that 15-minute spell for longer than 15 minutes.
We do, we really do. This is because we looked magnificent for 15 minutes on Saturday. Like you and I were like, right, this is it. This is incredible. This is what we've been waiting for. And then it just sort of fizzled out again.
Yeah, we got the equaliser, and then we were like, okay, that's
And you're
enough
like,
now.
that's enough for a while, yeah.
Yeah.
So
But
if we can just do that. I mean, hopefully Calvin Phillips will do something hilariously bad.
yeah, you never know. Like, if we can't get a penalty, Phillips on the pitch. Seriously, there's something wrong with us. But
the Calvin Phillips transfer is honestly my favourite transfer of all time. It's just so sweet that
it's so sad, isn't it? Like, I feel sort of
I
bad.
I do feel
for
a bit
him,
sorry
but...
for him now. Yeah,
I know.
Out of a place in the England squad. He probably, if he played no more minutes for the entire season, he'd probably have still been in the England squad because Southgate has his favourites, honestly.
It's just one of those mysteries, isn't it? Where you just think, like, obviously Pep rarely gets these things wrong. And the Cole Palmer thing is sort of the only one you can really query in recent years, isn't it? But it's just what, like, that is still, I don't understand. He seems like an absolute shadow of himself. It's been
yeah, I think he's gotten
calamitous.
Confidence.
Yeah.
I felt like they signed Phillips because he was English. Because I think the one thing about City is they need more homegrown players. But I actually saw earlier that I think Flynn Downs, which is one of the West Ham like academy midfielders, has been recalled from his loan because of Phillips's poor form. Like, it's that bad. So yeah, I do feel a bit sorry for him because I actually thought he was a good player. Like, he had a really good Euros for England, and it just feels like well, you can't imagine West Ham will make that loan permanent, so he's got to start again in the summer and rebuild his career, which isn't easy. But like, he's not a bad, like, yeah, he's a decent midfielder. He's just, this is going really, really badly. But I would also like it to go really, really badly tomorrow.
Please, please do something like chaotically, hilariously terrible. I mean, just sure, I don't know why I'm saying this, but like, we can't.
I was just going to say, I mean, Mickey should start, right?
I think so. I think that's why,
We're going to need with Bowen running.
Yeah, and Kudus. Like, they're quick. To be fair, they are quick.
Yeah.
And even Antonio, like, he's... Yeah,
much as I don't like him, he really loves scoring against us as well. Mm. I mean, is Kudus the one that, like, did he play for Ten Hag?
Yeah, that when Ten Hag went shopping at Ajax with 100 million, came back with Antony instead of Kudus. Yeah. But
give that man your money.
Yeah, but yeah, like, I think they do have their front four, obviously with Pep Kessa in there, is up there with one of the best in the leagues, but they are giving away goals. And I back our kind of our back line to deal with that. It's just we need to get the midfield functioning in the right way. But you never know. Maybe we'll see Bentancur start tomorrow.
Yeah, do you think he should? Actually, yeah. Give me your we know what the back four is gonna be. Who do you think plays ahead?
I'd probably keep Saar, Madders and either Bentancur in the six or Højbjerg in the six, I think is what he'll do.
And then
more so hope.
Brennan starts?
Yeah, I think Brennan off the right, Timo on the left, mm-hmm. and Sonny through the middle. Or do you really bring back? Because he did actually say in the press conference today that Richarlison's fit to start.
Yeah, could be. Bit of physicality, maybe. I don't know why I assume we need to bring physicality to West Ham. It just feels natural.
You need it if we play in a back three, though. I don't know if they'll play a back three, but we may need it.
What are you thinking, Tom?
I think Brennan has to start after that performance the other day, and I think, you know, I think Kulu's had some good games for us off the bench, like in his time at the club as well. So I think he can be a good impact sub. Richarlison's a weird one because, yeah, that spell where he was starting every game, he was brilliant. So I would probably like to see more of Richarlison than we did on Saturday, when I guess he still wasn't fully fit, was he? He only got 15 minutes or something.
Worked incredibly hard, as I have to say, did Giovanni Lo Celso. Didn't do a huge amount, but did some really good defensive work. So shout out for that.
He saved us at the end, to be fair.
He
that
really
tackle
did.
That he made, because they were ready to pull the trigger.
But he can't start. Sorry, Gio, you can't start.
But he also scored on, of course he did. He scored on international duty.
Of course,
as well, didn't
of
he?
Course.
Why are we surprised?
I think we'll be even more surprised if he's in the squad because he picks up injuries so easily.
I know. Surely we've had our 15 minutes now.
Yeah. But he's a decent player. Just needs to stay fit.
It's never going to happen. Let it go. Even, you know.
And the good news is, whatever the 11 is, we do have options on the bench. Are we sort
do.
Of way beyond our injury crisis? It's just Solomon and Sessegnon, I guess.
Yeah, I think so. God, is that that? I feel like we've just sort of quietly come out of our injury crisis. Yeah. Maybe because we haven't been playing like that well. It sort of seems like it hasn't really ended yet, but it has ended, and now they've really got to get their act together. A good 90 minutes of proper football, please, Tottenham. That's all we require from you. Right, before we move on to culture, I'm going to give you a couple of questions. Ollie has made me call this section. I regret to inform you, I've had to call this section Stop Hammer Time. Wasn't my idea. I do apologise. But I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. Yeah. Which of these top coys did not play for us and West Ham? Paul Konchesky, Matthew Etherington, Callum Davenport, or Chris Gunter?
Oh, Chris Gunter.
Tom.
Yeah, I think it's either Gunter or Davenport, but I think it is Gunter.
It is Gunter. Is it Gunter or Gunter? I don't know. How did you guys remember that Paul Konchesky played for Spurs?
All three of the first three were in my sticker book era. So
that's very cute. Very cute. But he was only—I just was like, he seemed so West Ham to me that I was immediately like, it's obviously like, obviously that's a trick question. But I just was like, it's obviously him. But he did in fact play for us on loan, which you knew because of your stickers. Well done. In a similar vein, which one of these Spurs icons also played for Irons? Nicky Barmby, Ili Dumitrescu, Vinny Samways, or Gica Popescu?
Yeah, okay. That one, I have no idea.
You're just going to have to guess.
Yeah, just have to guess. I'm going to guess B. I can't even remember the names. So I'm just going to go B.
Dumitrescu was B.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm going to go like, I might go Barmby. Like, perhaps he was there when he was really young. I don't know.
Barmby did go on like a basic like tour of England after he left us, didn't he? But he did not play for West Ham. Lauren, you were right. It was Dumitrescu.
Oh, wow.
Well done.
God.
Bonus question. Since you're doing so well, bonus question. Since 2010, who are our top five league goal scorers against West Ham? The first three are quite easy. But you
wait,
might.
Since when?
Since 2010.
2010. Son.
Mm-hmm.
Kane.
Yep.
Bale?
Yes, Gareth Bale. Those are your three, and now is when we get into sort of murky waters. If it helps, the next two players only scored two goals each.
Oh, so I'm going to say Dyer then, just because everyone remembers his debut goal.
Oh, yeah. I can tell you a story about that debut goal.
Oh, I don't know. Is that Defoe too late? The two, like, Tony Townwards?
No, Defoe is one of them. Well done. Ah. Yeah. Two goals, yeah. All right. It was not Dyer, so you got one more.
But is it another centre back who's just got two headers? Is it your boy Dav?
Oh man, that would be so good if it was true. It is not Dav, sadly. It's not a centre back. It is another forward.
Forward.
Who didn't score a huge amount of goals for us otherwise?
That doesn't narrow
that doesn't down.
That really doesn't help.
Well, let's go Soldado then.
All right, Soldado. Lauren, do you have...
Adebayor or something like that.
Okay, both of those, decent shouts, but it is, in fact, Lucas Moura.
Oh!
Two whole goals against West Ham. And that probably makes up about one third of his entire goal contribution at Tottenham. Oh, Lucas.
It's okay. We've always got Ajax. So.
We do. And to be honest, that's all we need. Yeah. That's all. That's more than anybody else has ever given us. Let's be honest. All right. Amazing stuff. Thank you, guys. Let's move on to culture. Tom, tell me what you've been up to.
I've mostly just been engrossed in Kin,
Oh,
the
okay.
kind of Irish crime drama on that's on iPlayer. I guess it's been compared to The Sopranos or The Wire, but set in Dublin. But actually, it's very similar to Gomorra, the Italian mobster mob drama. So yeah, really liked Kin. It's extremely dark, but the characters are good. Aidan Gillen's very weird in it. There's two series on iPlayer. Apparently, there's not a third happening because the company that made it went bust or something. But yeah,
You're
so
not
I watched
getting any
that
more. Okay.
kind of too deep into that, and it became, all encompassing. So also as a counterpoint, watched a comedy, half-hour comedy on iPlayer called Such Brave Girls.
Oh,
I
half an
think.
hour and a comedy. I
Oh,
think
right.
I need this in my life.
I think you'd like it. It's quite slightly surreal. It's about two daughters and their mum, and their very sort of ordinary lives. And it's super funny and very kind of unhinged and surreal at times. But the writing is very good. Yeah, and it's very, very funny. It's a BBC thing, but it's a co-production with A24, which, I guess is a mark of quality.
Oh yeah, okay.
And there's just six sort of 24-minute episodes or something. Such
Oh,
Brave.
this sounds perfect.
Yeah, I kind of needed a new comedy, so I would definitely recommend that. It's weird.
Amazing. I need something light. What about you, Lauren?
Music wise, Beyoncé released a country album.
Yes, we need to have the discussion. How are you feeling?
I don't like country music.
Like at all, but it's not totally
Not
country, is
particularly.
it?
Yeah,
Okay.
it's not totally country, but it was country enough for me to be like, oh my.
Like, B, what have you done?
Yeah, I mean, funny enough, I listened to it on the way to the game and on the way home because it was so bloody long. So that's 27 tracks. I personally, I don't like
Too
artists that make albums that long. Like, sorry, we'd like keep it under
long.
an hour.
Crazy.
So that was just, yeah. Well, I mean, there are some of the songs are good. Like, I like the, to be fair, I liked her Jolene remix. And obviously she got Dolly Parton involved. But yeah, I'm not a Beyonce stan. Like, I like Beyonce because she was in Destiny's Child and I really love R&B. And she's just releasing any music that she wants to at the moment. I really like Renaissance. I don't particularly enjoy Boy Carter as much. But so yeah, if she does tour, I will not be going. I'll sit that one out.
Ooh,
Yeah,
wow, a
but
brutal
yeah.
assessment.
It's not, it's like on it, like if you like that music, I think you'll like the album. Like, what did you think?
I'm enjoying it. I've only listened to it all the way through like once, I think, and I haven't had a proper chance. I like it. I don't know a lot of country, but I quite like bits of it. My dad's quite a big country fan. I didn't really like Texas Hold'em, but I like 16 Carriages. I like the one she did with Miley.
Yeah, to be that's a nice
Like
one.
some of
Yeah,
those, like
I like the
yeah,
Miley
there's
one.
I like Jolene. Couple of other ones. What's the? I can't remember. I can't.
Bodyguard's good as well.
Yes,
And
there are a couple on
I
there
feel
that
like there's a few things. I feel like I could get into it.
there are a couple on there I really liked that just don't. They only have a very tenuous connection to country. I'd say there's a track called Tyrant and one called Spaghetti,
Yes, that's the other one I was thinking of.
which
Yeah, they
probably
don't
would have
really sound
worked.
very country.
They'd probably have worked on Renaissance too, to be honest. But I really like the Miley one and Jolene as well. But yeah, way too long. Jesus. Just give
It's
me
just not necessary. It's not necessary. I know she apparently she recorded like 100 songs. So it doesn't matter. Just 10, just pick 10. That's all you get.
Yeah, or at least break it down into parts. Because I feel like when she did I Am Sasha Fierce, it was in like if you're gonna do that many songs, call it a part one, a part two. Then for me, then it's sort of like put the country ones in part one and then all the other ones in part two. Like it
What, so
just
which ones not to listen to?
Because like I've had to like I've gone through it and then like picked out the ones that I actually liked and then I just won't go back into the album. But yeah, it just yeah, I just PSA to all artists, please don't bore us with I would say 13 to 15 tracks max and wiggered.
Yeah.
Anything more than that is
Bring out a
you're
bonus
just
edition if you want to later,
yeah.
ultimately. Yeah, I think that is the way forward. Anything else you've been enjoying more?
TV wise, actually, you can tell it's been a bank holiday weekend. So I was watching Borders, which is on BBC iPlayer. So it's like this elite private school, and then they get a bad reputation. So they invite some black scholarship students to come and study at the school, and you kind of see the fallout of that. And they're all from like inner city London. But
Is
yeah, so
it a
that
drama, a comedy? What is it?
a bit of both. Like it's more comedy.
Okay.
Like it's a light watch, which is good because I think sometimes it's nice having a light watch, especially when you've just watched something heavy. So yeah, it's actually quite funny. Like I kind of saw a few people tweeting about it, so I was like, oh, okay, I'll watch it. But I did actually enjoy it. And today I started, and to be fair, I'm now more than halfway through. I started The Gentleman today, which is on Netflix. So,
Oh, okay. So I've seen. So what's this one about? I feel like it like
so
popped up on my Netflix, and I was like, oh, I'll get to
yeah.
that later.
So you've got Theo James, who is the equivalent of Prince Harry in this dukedom. The dad dies, and the inheritance is supposed to go to the firstborn, like William. That's not their names in the program, but he gives the inheritance to the second born son, which was a big shock. But it turns out that all of the inheritance and all the money has come from the fact that there is an underground weed factory, and that's how they've actually been making their money. So again, it's quite light-hearted. You can see where they've attempted to be like funny in moments. But one of the reasons why I watched it, because Kaya, I can never say her surname, but Effie from Skins
Oh
is one of the
yeah.
main, yeah, she's one of the
Oh
main
my God, I wondered
characters.
what had happened to her.
Yeah, she's in this. So she runs the weed business, so you kind of have her and the Theo James's character. Kind of, he discovers like, oh my God, my dad's not legit, and then they're kind of moving into a life of crime. But yeah, like
Ooh.
it's
So
a
kind
heated
of like
watch.
sort of weeds
Yeah,
ish. Yeah, maybe.
like it's yeah, it's weird because it's kind of like yeah, it's blending kind of. And usually, like that type of business, it's always Coke when they do those type of things.
Yeah.
But it's interesting that it's weed this time.
Just
But
very,
yeah,
yeah.
it's been a. I've enjoyed it today. That's what I spent most of my day watching. So.
Nice. Okay, sounds good. I started watching Three Body Problem last night, so I need to wait for Billy to come back so I can fully discuss, so we can fully nerd out about that. It's just like,
Is it good? It's on my list.
do you
I
know
added
what
it
it?
yesterday.
We've only watched one episode. It is good if you are into like Lost and like Westworld and all of those kind of sort of mystery box type shows. Then I think you'll like it. I do enjoy those shows. Like I know that at some point I'm going to get irritated by like all of the sort of nonsense theories that are going to come out about it. But it is. It's really slick. It's got a lot of really good actors that I like. It's Benioff and Weiss who did Game of Thrones, so they've obviously been given like a shit ton of money, and it certainly has the hallmarks of the kinds of things they like to do. So it's pretty, and it's like unnecessarily violent at points, and some of the dialogue's not the strongest, but it's got like a lot. It looks gorgeous. It's got a lot of really good people. Like the premise is really interesting. So I think we'll definitely be sticking with it because it sort of merges. It's like Ollie and I always need to find shows that we can watch together because our interests sort of diverge. So it's quite good that we can, when we find one, we're like, oh, we'll both watch this. This is cool. So, but we're only one episode in. And then I watched Sofia Coppola's Priscilla film at the weekend. And I did like that. Actually, it's not very. That if you like Sofia Coppola films, you'll like this one basically. It looks really beautiful. It's got a lovely soundtrack. It's not very deep. But what I like about her is that she's just very sympathetic to all of the women in her films, which is really nice. They all take center stage kind of And it's very, like, I can imagine it sort of depicts that really sort of early stages of being, like, it's kind of hard to depict Elvis, right? Because he's such a phenomenon. Like, what can you do? But to do it from this perspective where he decided that he wanted her and there was, like, nothing that anybody else could do about it. Like, she couldn't do anything about it. Her parents couldn't do anything about it. It was just, like, going to happen. And it kind of treats, it does that really well. And it also sort of navigates the potential sort of dodginess around how young she was.
How is Jacob Elordi in it?
I think he's really good. I've not, because I didn't watch Euphoria. Okay. So I've not seen him in anything, but I think he's really excellent as young Elvis. Like, when they get a bit older, because I also think she kind of loses interest at that point as well. I think she's more interested in their relationship when, like, Priscilla's really young. And then when it all sort of goes, I mean, it's always quite sour. Like, it's never this glorious romance. But I think when he sort of gets old and sad, it's a bit harder for a younger actor, I think, to...
Young, it's weird. It would be weird for him to play old and sad. He's very
He's very young, and he looks very young as well. So
same in Saltburn. He's like this student who's got loads of energy. So
yeah, so he works really well as young. Yeah. Do you like him as an actor?
Yeah, I do, actually, and I'm quite intrigued to see where he goes. He was really good in Euphoria as a bad guy, and I'm quite excited. He's in film adaptation of The Long Road to the Narrow North. Is that what it's called?
Oh, really? Yeah, yeah.
So he's the lead.
Amazing. Okay.
He's Australian in real life. So yeah, I think he's the lead. And that was a really amazing, if quite harrowing, novel.
Mm. Okay, that'll be exciting. Yeah, he's a proper, like, the world is his oyster kind of a guy. So that'll be very cool. And I think the girl who played Priscilla was really excellent as well. She did it really well. She looks so much like she could play Linda Cardellini's daughter that I really want to see that in a film. And bonus, her mother in the film is played by our beloved Carolina from Succession. So that was really fun.
Love that.
And yeah, that's it from me. Thank you, guys. Hopefully we will make it past West Ham. If not, we'll just pretend it never happened and we'll talk about Forest instead. Tom, will you see us out?
Up the Spurs.